You have your Bible with you this morning. We're reading together from the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. There are Bibles in front of you in the pew. If you wish to look on for the Bible reading and follow it, feel free so to do. If you turn to your Old Testament there in the Bible in the pew, you'll find there the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, in the Old Testament section of the book of Jeremiah, page 769. In the Old Testament section of your Bible, page 769, you'll find Jeremiah 18. Reading together from the first verse of this portion of God's Word this morning, Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at one instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." Ending our reading at verse 10, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer, please. Let us all engage in prayer. Our gracious, loving Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I draw your attention to Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning and the verse 4. It says, "The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." I want to speak this morning on the theme, the Lord's vessel. The Lord's vessel. The Word of God refers to the believer as being a vessel. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And so here we have reference made to a purged and to a purified vessel. A vessel that can be used in the service of the master. A clean vessel. And of course the Bible speaks, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." And then Paul also referred to in Scripture as a chosen vessel. The Bible says in Acts 9 verse 15, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel." And Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, was a chosen vessel unto the Lord. And he was mightily used in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Acts of the Apostles specially set before us the labors of Paul the Apostle, the labors of one who was greatly used in the work of the Lord. But how easy it is to become a contaminated vessel. A vessel contaminated by sin, so that we are not able to be used in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are hindered by sin, and we become a marred vessel. And God's word here speaks and says, "And that vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." The burden that is upon my heart today is that of a message to those who have failed the Lord and who are conscious of that failure this morning. They've been led step by step in the ways of truth, and sadly it has dawned upon them that their failure before the world has reflected upon the character of God. This is to them, as to all of us, a searching and a humiliating experience. We must never forget that God's character is committed to his people. When they fail, he fails. His name is beclouded, and his luster is dim. Men are not down, drawn away from him, but of course, their hearts are cold and they're turned aside into bypath meadow. Therefore, the message today is one of encouragement, that the vessel can be remade, though it be marred, that we can be used again, though we have failed, though we have wandered, though we have sinned against God, and we all have. Yet the Lord can come again and give us power and blessing and give us that unction that we need, even in the service and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God can give us power to serve him and make us usable in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again, surely we have been asked by men and women the question, can I ever get back what I have lost? Can I ever have restored that which I have lost in my Christian experience? Can there be a rebuilding of the waste places? Can the vessel be that is marred be made again? Well, I believe we have the answer here in this portion of God's word that is set before us in Jeremiah chapter 18. And I want to focus briefly upon this portion this morning. There are three things that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, there is a vessel made. The Bible tells us here that the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And here we see something that the potter has in his hand from which he's going to make a vessel. What he holds is a lump of clay. And from that lump of clay, he is going to shape a vessel into what he desires it to be. The vessel is to be made a new creation, a thing of beauty. Notice that the vessel made is in the hand of the potter. And while it is true that the vessel is marred, it is still in his hand. I want you to see that. He doesn't throw it out. He doesn't cast it aside. He doesn't despise it in any way. It is still held in his hand. It is still regarded as a vessel, suggesting that a major work has been accomplished. And something new is now visible in the eye to the eyes of men. Something never seen before, but now obvious to all. And as we turn to the New Testament, we find reference again and again to man being made. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, for example, he speaks of his creation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says this, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. Or again, we have the words of the apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this verse, of course, speaks of the work of regeneration, which must be regarded as a major work. We do well to remind ourselves that this is essential, bringing us back to the work of our Savior and to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ addressed to Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 3, where he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's not a question in all the range of thought so vital in its issue as this one. Are you a new creature this morning? Are you a new creature in Christ? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? To talk of being a Christian apart from the experience of a new nature is to demonstrate an ignorance that is colossal. And I wonder this morning, as you think about this question, can you say, I've been born again? Can you say, I'm a new creature? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can you say that? Is that your experience today? New life in Christ? There's a great deal of talk today about follow-up work, and I do not wish to be misunderstood this morning. There's a place for all of that follow-up work in the way of giving instruction to young converts. But it is my firm conviction today that if a soul is truly born again of the Spirit of God, if a man or woman or young person has been brought into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the question of follow-up work doesn't present a problem. Peter sets this truth before us in clear light. In 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Similarly, when a soul is born again, created within that soul are aspirations after God, desires after God, desires after His Word, desires after holiness of life, desires to live in accordance with His commandments. Just as a lamb runs after the mother, and you see those little lambs skipping there over the fields, and they run towards the ewe, or the yo, as some people call it. They run towards the mother. So, my friend, those who are truly regenerated, those who are truly saved by the grace of God, will seek after pastures where they can be fed. There's something we need to emphasize these days when there's so much of unreality among those who respond to appeals that are made. The easy believism of today. What is the difference between an invitation, or an imitation rose rather, and that is man-made and the real thing? What's the difference? Well, you who are gardeners immediately have your ears pricking up and know exactly the difference. One lacks life and perfume. The other fills the room with its fragrance. Manifest life. There may be a strong resemblance, but the difference is fundamental between the two, between the artificial and the real. And so I ask you again, have you been made in Christ? Can you with confidence and conviction this morning say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day? Vessel made. Are you a vessel made in Christ today? Shaped in the hand of the potter? Are you a vessel that He has made for His honor and for His glory? If not, then I pray that even now as you hear this message, that you will come and put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and know what it is to have Him make you in His hand a vessel for His glory, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then I want you to see the second thing this morning, the vessel marred. And the vessel that is made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Some foreign substance had remained, or in the process of making, had got into the clay. And so the work of the potter was spoiled. And among the dire tragedies recorded in the Word of God, there are those that record those who have turned aside after they had known the will of God. After they had heard His word, they turned aside from the path of the Lord. We think of Saul, head and shoulders, he stood among the people of his day, the king of Israel. And yet how, through disobedience and disregard of the word of God, he failed. And the Lord rejected Saul, the Bible tells us. On more than one occasion, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Remember how Samson, that man of might and strength, the Spirit of God moved him betimes. The Spirit of the Lord, the Bible tells us there in the book of Judges, came mightily upon him. And yet Samson, he failed the Lord grievously. Can happen to any one of us. That him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And you know, my friend, despite God saying to us over and over again, this is the way, walk ye in it, many times we walk our own way. We turn aside from the path. And our cry may be like the cry of one, the young school teacher, who said with tears, having lost out with God, can ever I get back what I have lost? But thank God the marred vessel can be made again this morning. Almighty love and power are not finally contradicted by human unfaithfulness. Can God restore the ears that the locusts have eaten? Of course He can. You can put the broken pieces together again. Just in visitation a little while ago in my own congregation, I watched a little lad. And all these jigsaw pieces, he just threw them out of the box. But during the course of my visit there, I was amazed, glancing again and again at this little lad there on the floor. He put all the pieces together. By the time I had finished my visit, he had almost finished, almost completed. It must have been 100 pieces at least, more than that possibly, for a little lad. Putting the pieces together again, it amazed me. They were all scattered all over the place, but he put them together. My friend, God can put the broken pieces of our lives together again. He did it with Samson, you remember? And even at the end of his life, he slew more in his death than he had in his life. And he said, Lord, remember me. And God remembered Samson. And my friend, you may say this morning, Lord, remember me. God can remember you again. God can remember His church again. And God can bring back together that which is scattered, that which is broken. A man was serving a 7-year sentence. One of our penal settlements, he came to know the recovering power of the blood of Christ in his life. And in the flyleaf of his Bible in his cell, he wrote, the soul that comes to Jesus through failure, shame, or pain, by His wondrous love and mercy, may soar as high again. And God can bring you back. And God can restore that which the locusts have eaten. The Bible says here, concerning this vessel. It was made again. And that's the third point very simply this morning. The vessel is made again. And it's the glory of the gospel that men and women who have failed can be made again. I think of Peter. And so often Peter is referred to. And ever a man failed, it was Peter. And yet it was to Peter Jesus said in John 21:17, "Lovest thou me?" And he repeated it over and over again. My friend, what comfort this brings to my own heart today, that it was to Peter who was guilty of denial and cursing, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus did not speak to Peter concerning his failure, but rather about the still living possibilities of his life and affection. "Peter, lovest thou me?" And someone has said, "You ask me what forgiveness is, I answer, it is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him." And what a gospel we proclaim today, and what a Savior to know this very day, that irrespective of our failures, he comes to speak his word of pardon and deliverance, so that the wasted places are built again. The years that the locusts have eaten are restored. The book of Isaiah chapter 58, 58th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah and the verse 12. And listen to the words of Scripture and what it says. "And they shall be of thee, they that shall be of thee shall build thee old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." The building up, the raising up, the repairer, the restorer. Notice the terms that are used. Again, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 4. "And they shall build the old waste, and shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." Notice again the terms that are used. Significant terms. Important terms. And then Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And when you read the prophecy of Joel, one of the minor prophets, you read of desolation. But then, of course, there is this return, there is this coming before the Lord in chapter 2 of the book of Joel, and I commend it to your reading. In Joel 2 verse 25 it says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." And they've already been referred to in the first chapter of the book of Joel. Judgment that had come, and yet God says, "I will restore." Is God saying that to your heart this morning? To my heart? Is God saying that to the church here? That God will restore? That God will repair again? We often have referred to those words, "Him who pardoned erring Peter, never needst thou fear. He that came to faithless Thomas, all thy doubts will clear. He who would let the loved disciple on his bosom rest, bids thee still with love as tender lean upon his breast." You ever been to the pottery? We have a very famous one in our own province, don't we? You see them manufacture that delicate china. And when a potter molds or fashions a delicate vessel, he first puts it in the furnace, in order that the dross might be burned out. And then he puts it back into the furnace, but not before he paints a flower or a crest upon it. The purpose of the second burning is to burn in the pattern. And that surely is the double function of the Holy Spirit, first to cleanse and then to indwell us by the life of Christ. This mighty work of cleansing and indwelling is absolutely essential. It is absolutely necessary if the truth of God is to be translated into our lives. Will we make our vows? We bring our resolutions, but these will not carry us very far. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is the outcome of this indwelling is the character of the life of Christ. Let us come to God now with confidence this day, believing that God will work in us that which will glorify Him, that there will be a manifestation of Christ in our lives, that Christ will be seen. There's a very significant passage in 2 Kings chapter 2. It talks there about the healing of the waters. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings verse 19. And the men of the city said to Elisha, "The situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren." And surely that's a picture of this city, isn't it? Spiritually speaking. "And labor as they would, and the ground would not yield." And so they tell the prophet, and he suggests a cure. If the water is to be made good, they must deal with the spring, the source of the water. "And the salt would not work any healing virtue to the stream until it came into contact with the fountain. And the moment that happened, the stream became clean." And here the salt represents, of course, the cleansing power of God. There's the symbolism here in Scripture. It makes possible the cleansing of the water. My friend, today the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is our need when sin exerts itself, when we know its power, when by its power we are held in bondage, when self-loathing is a symptom of its hatefulness. Surely our desire is for God to deal with the cause. And thank God He can do it this morning. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, first epistle to the Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, listen to the words of Scripture. It says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Talking here about purity and separation. You see, my friend, we can be a vessel that is made again in the hands of the Master Potter, the Lord Himself. Do you desire this morning? If so, are you prepared to place every key of your life in the hands of Christ? I know how possible it is to hand over every key but one key. But it's the one that's held back which determines whether you accept the Lordship of Christ in your life or not. Andrew Murray, that great writer and preacher, when addressing a meeting in Scotland on one occasion, he said, "It is comparatively easy to win people to a cross, but to a cross that leaves them uncrucified." Let me repeat those words. It is comparatively easy to win people to a cross, but to a cross that leaves them uncrucified. You see, Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Are you conscious of failure this morning? If so, will you come to Christ now and discover that He can make you again? You can know glorious victory on the field of your defeat. And with David, you can say in the paraphrased words of that psalm, "Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me. I shall be cleansed so. You wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow." Oh, of gladness and of joyfulness, make me to hear the voice, that so these very bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. May God bring us back again. May God give to this church again those times of blessing, those times of visitation, Let us not be downbeat or downhearted, but let us even with glad anticipation look forward to the future, knowing that God is the mighty God, the Almighty, and He is able to do for us much more than this. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts today. Let us bow in prayer. Father, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy word upon our hearts. Build us up, Lord, this morning through Thy word and our most holy faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.